Today is Palm Sunday, and a couple months ago in February, I was invited by Justice in Action to attend a conference or a short informational time to talk about preaching about justice. And so I went to Kansas City with a couple of pastors from Lincoln, from Our Savior's Lutheran, from the Unitarian Church, and with Beth, our lead coordinator and community organizer for Justice in Action. And there we talked about justice and how to preach about it, and how it can sometimes be confusing or challenging or scary. And so at that time, they invited two pastors to share, one a Lutheran pastor and one, Carl, from an American Baptist Church, one of our congregations in partnership through the Central Region in Topeka, Kansas. They shared sermons about justice. And so the invitation was, when you go home, will you pick a Sunday and preach specifically about justice, and preach and invite people to our Nehemiah Action Assembly on May 1st. And so I took that request, and I wanted to honor it by using Palm Sunday and this opportunity to share about justice. And so I invite you to listen in. Our reading is going to come from Luke chapter 9, and it's also going to hit on Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. So let me pray for us, and then we'll read the biblical text together. Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, to open our ears, that we might receive the reading of your word, that we might be open to the words of justice and the invitation to feel uncomfortable, but to be reminded that with being uncomfortable comes growth, that you invite us to continue to learn and live out our faith, even when it's hard, O God. So I pray that the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing unto you, that you would give us the gift of interpretation, that you would illuminate the scripture through your Holy Spirit, and you would invite us to hear from you. Amen. Reading from Luke chapter 19, I'm going to pick up in verses 36 through 42. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Now some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." And as Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This sermon is entitled, "The Revolution of Peace. No Justice, No Peace." This past week, Austin and I went on a long-planned trip to Minneapolis, Minnesota for a concert. And as we were in the Target Center singing along to Tyler Childress, I knew that just miles away was the spot where George Floyd was killed by a police officer. A tragic moment that captivated the ethos of a divided nation. And instead of mourning the loss of life, many people jumped to accusations or to try to make sense or to discredit. Instead of hearing stories of our Black and Brown and Indigenous siblings, we put up our defenses. They discredited the family. They ignored history's violent repetition of inequity. So the next day, we drove to that place. As we drew closer, I felt this perpetual weight of grief and injustice. The street, well, it's just like any other. It's no different than the bus stop off Washington by Russ's Market that sit just 1.2 miles away from where we are in these pews. The square, haunted by the pain of what happened and an overwhelming sense of hopelessness to make a difference because history repeats itself. Now, there are murals that line the streets, A church just a block over has a picture of George as a reminder. There are flowers lined on the sidewalk by the gutter where he died. And all the while, I felt a lump in my throat. Now, the reason why that place is so painful is because of the history and the continued actions, but it also is the scandal of the familiarity staring back, saying, this could be anywhere, in any time, in any place, a terrifying reminder for people of color in this country. An injustice that reminded the nation that when there is no justice, there is no peace. Martin Luther King Jr. said it, there can be no peace in the world unless there's justice, and there can be no justice without peace. I think, in a sense, these problems are inextricably bound together. Now, protesters have been using this phrase over and over again for decades, and the notion is true for a millennium. Today, we talk about Jesus entering Jerusalem with shouts of peace in heaven, only to weep and say, if you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. This is a revolution. The Pulitzer Prize winner Kendrick Lamar said during the Super Bowl, the revolution will be televised because we see injustice play out on our screens. We see peace lacking through division and Facebook posts. The message of Palm Sunday stands in stark contrast to this. Palm Sunday is a revolution of the church, a revolution of peace and justice modeled by Jesus Christ himself. The psalmist writes, love and truth will meet, justice and peace will kiss. What if it was so for us? Now, Luke has been pointing to Jesus' kingdom of peace at every turn through the gospel. Remember, at his birth, the angels, the holy multitude, sang, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Then Jesus, as he started his ministry in his hometown, he said, I am anointed to bring good news to the poor, the year of the Lord's favor. And he stopped before he got to the judgment and violence. Jesus was about peace in this kingdom. When the woman with alabaster jar in Luke's rendition is accused by the people of being wasteful and a harlot, Jesus says to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Luke chapter 7, verse 50. The woman with the issue of blood making her unclean and unworthy and cast out from society, Jesus heals her and tells her the same, go in peace. We hear the shouts of peace and then the weeping that the people of Jerusalem still won't accept such peace or wholeness or salvation in its fullness as Jesus means and intends. And Luke has been so intentional and orderly in his writing. Jesus enters this triumphal entry, as we call it, or Palm Sunday, as a king. The Prince of Peace triumphantly enters the holy city. And in Luke's account, we don't get palms, but alas, we have them today. They're beautiful. Thank you, Jana, for setting them up. But the palms are a sign of royalty. We still have a royal procession and also one of military proportions. Jesus enters the holy city surrounded by those that have joined with him in ministry, right? They shouted joyfully because they had seen the miracles. They had seen what Jesus taught and said. This group supported him and goes with him. And the people, they placed their cloaks on the ground. It didn't matter if they were tattered or new or nice or hand-me-downs. They lay them down on the ground as Jesus enters in on a colt. This is a sign of respect. This is a royal image serving this idea that we are to submit to Jesus' kingship, that this is the true, real king. And as they began to get worked up and they got closer to the city, shouts broke out. Shouts of victory, shouts that echoed Psalm 118. a hymn of royal entry on the occasion of an annual ritual of enthronement, writes Joel Green. Psalm 118 reads, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches or palms up on the horns of the altar." A celebration of victory. Those entering in the city shout in a loud voice, testifying to what they have seen and who Jesus is. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." As you imagine, this scene is causing a commotion. This band of tax collectors, women, fishermen, healed folk, and poor are coming to the epicenter of the Jewish world, where the religious authority rests in Jerusalem, and they're having a parade for a king. This is such scandal, such upheaval, such political protest, because you see, there were powers that be in Jerusalem. They were powers of Rome. Rome was known during this period for the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. Peace achieved by, get this, violence, military coups, rape, killing, punishment, retribution, and power. This was a different kind of, quote, peace, if you can call it that. The peace of law, violence, and the appearance of order is what Rome promised, and by de facto, Herod and Pilate. What we don't always consider on Palm Sunday is that there was another parade entering into Jerusalem from the west. Scholars Marcus Borg and John Dominique Crossan write about the last week of Jesus' life. They point out that Pontius Pilate enters Jerusalem for the Passover as Rome's representation. His parade, clothed in imperial power and prestige, like horses and chariots and armor, and they all show that Rome's military power is at Passover, so you people better stay in line. You better be scared of a show of law and order by any means possible. This is a veiled threat. These scholars write, Pilate's procession displayed not only imperial power, but also Rome's imperial theology. And according to this theology, the emperor was not simply the ruler of Rome, but the son of God. The tale of two forms of peace, asking us this morning for different things. Now, Rome's peace isn't dissimilar from the peace we see in our world, promised by politicians and talking heads and billionaires that don't know what it's like to pay for eggs. Peace, by controlling money, power, limiting resources. Peace in our country that harms the marginalized, poor, and the disenfranchised by systems. Lancaster County's peace is to evict the struggling. In 2023, 1,309 children faced eviction in Lancaster County. Justice in Action research found that 28% of the people represented by the Tenant Assistance Project in eviction court are Black and Indigenous people of color, though they only make up 5% of Lancaster County's general population. Well, peaceful for the county attorney's office is that 78% of people held at jail are there pre-trial. Corrections in this county is its top expense. Yet, they are at 111% of the department's operational capacity. Peace in our county looks like being okay with the 65.3% of people surveyed describing mental health as their top concern, many of them here in this pew. In 2023, LPD officers responded to approximately 3,781 mental health calls for service. Talk about overwork and underpaid. The system for mental health navigation, unable to be navigated alone, being sent to this office and that office, having money or resources, having someone to help you, when you're at a time of crisis, Rome's peace asks us to be okay with that. And yet we know that without justice, there is no peace. So we demand justice. And I know what you're thinking. Joy, this is too much. You're trying to get it in before you leave. Pastor, you just want to get away with this on Holy Week. Preacher lady, you're just using woke speaking points. You're disrespecting the authorities we elected. And to say to that, hang in there. Stirring the water isn't always bad. Sometimes we must make waves for equality and advocacy. Justice in Action, which we all voted in August to join willingly, they invite us to do what they call raising the heat or building tension, recognizing that it's okay to be uncomfortable, that it's okay to disagree with someone you care about and love. We all just went through the last election cycle with our families and friends. We know that this is a part of growth. This is a part of an invitation for us to see something else. So look at the text. Hear the story. Jesus is entering the holy city for the holy celebration of Passover, and he's met by Pharisees that say, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop. Don't do this, Jesus. It could get ugly. Pilate just came in with the Roman military. Are you dumb? You don't stand a chance even with the zealots on your side if it comes to blows. Jesus, please stop. This is making me feel weird." And Jesus responds, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. Creation shouts out. God's presence is here. Glory will be proclaimed even if the people are unwilling in Jerusalem or unwilling in Lancaster County, because God is up to something." The scripture tells us after this pivotal moment in this protest of parade and circumstance, Jesus came near and he saw Jerusalem. He wept. He wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." Ellen Culpepper writes that Jeremiah was known to be the weeping prophet. He's remembered for his laments over Jerusalem when they were being unjust, when they were hurting others. That these two are echoed by Jesus' lament. Jeremiah warned that the Lord would punish Jerusalem because of its brokenness was not healed by leaders who glibly promised peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, I have to tell you, I remembered that verse, or that verse came to me in February, and it has not stopped nagging me, haunting me, coming back in various devotionals and conversations and prayers and ideas and discernment. It's come around and back around, and now it comes out today. Jeremiah, the everyman's prophet, is speaking to Jerusalem. Jerusalem has a corporate, a group responsibility that is falling on deaf ears. Other translations render Jeremiah 6:14 as, quote, "Everyone's after the dishonest dollar. Little people and big people alike, prophets and priests and everyone in between, twist words and doctor truth. My people are broken, shattered, and they put on band-aids saying, it's not so bad, you'll be just fine, but things are not just fine." The NIV, it says, "They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, this they say, when there is no peace." Lastly, the Voice puts it, "To heal the brokenness of my people, they offer superficial words. They say, peace, peace, as if all is well. But there is no peace." Friends, we cannot be like those priests and prophets that gave dismissive comments to our neighbors in pain and facing injustice. We cannot side with power and privilege at the detriment of the hurting, the poor, the oppressed, and all of God's beloved children. Why, church, do we say, peace, peace, as if it's all well, when it isn't for those sitting in our county, for the children sleeping in school because they had to sleep in a car, or homeless siblings that are experiencing severe mental health crisis? There is no peace, no justice, and it feels like no hope in these situations. Jesus cries after his big parade, after the people shout, "Hosanna," and "Glory to God in the highest," and "Peace in heaven." Jesus cries. Jesus cries because the people miss the point again. He wanted to bring them peace, wholeness. He wanted to bring them good news to the poor, the oppressed, the captive, the hurting, the downtrodden. And he weeps because there was supposed to be peace and restoration, but he must die. Jerusalem will kill him. And as he lamented in Luke 13, verse 34, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." We too are not willing for the things that make for peace because they ask something of us. They ask us to seek Jesus' face in the people that make us uncomfortable. They ask us to choose grace over punishment. They ask us to reframe the narrative or to hear a different perspective than our own. Peace asks us to seek justice for the people around us, to call out the parades of Rome, to stand in disagreement with our Christian brothers and sisters that say, "Peace, peace," as if it's all well. It's not. It asks us to reflect on our own shortcomings and sin that are shown through racism and ableism and sexism and classism and selfishness. They ask us to know that Christian nationalism distorts our reading today, our reading about a peaceful and humble triumphal entry, not one with guns, that Jesus did not come to make Jerusalem great again, but to invite people into a new reign. A reign of God where the first will be last, where the hurting are comforted, where justice rolls down like mighty rivers, where illness and death do not get the last word, and where there is forgiveness even for us when we fail, because Jesus, the Jesus we know, goes to the cross to make room for reconciliation and restoration of relationship. So we must do something about the pain and suffering in the world, because if we don't, it'll just continue. It'll play itself over. Let us not be unwilling to see the things that make for peace, so that justice and peace can rule on earth as it is in heaven. The psalmist writes, "Love and truth will meet, justice and peace will kiss." Jesus will show us this week that he will willingly give of himself and his last breath so that we might experience the newness of life in him. In that life, we are not content with Rome's cheap, corny, lacking, and violent version of peace. And instead, we embrace the peace of Jesus. That is shalom, or wholeness, or restoration, or salvation and liberation that has enough room for the incarcerated, the mentally unwell, the person facing eviction. Jesus has shown us that this peace is from him. This peace that works towards justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion is the revolution. The time has come to be a part of our own revolution of justice in our community, because Jesus asks us to see the things that make for peace. Today you must recognize it. You've just witnessed a parade. Which one will you join? The one of superficial lies of peace, or the one where rags called cloaks make room for a king that enters the holy city crowned King of Peace? The protest has just begun, pointing us to the hope of resurrection as we journey with Christ during Holy Week. So I want to extend an invitation for you to join Justice in Action in advocating for the expansion of our county's successful diversion programs by joining us tomorrow for Revolution Monday, April 14th at 11:30 a.m. at the City County Building off 10th Street. Today, we are asking you to sign your name in support for the diversion expansion on a slip of paper that will be added to a giant paper prayer chain with members of Justice in Action faith communities. This giant chain will then be unveiled at Revolution Monday Action. Also, please make plans to attend the Nehemiah Action Assembly on Thursday, May 1st, 2025 from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at St. Mark's United Methodist Church off 8550 Pioneers Boulevard. Let us demand justice together and work towards revolution. It is our turn to stand with and for the community, even if we must cry first and lament, all moving us to action. As James wrote, faith without works is dead. Revolution is here, and we demand justice and peace together so that they might kiss, so the world might be better. There are so many things that make for peace, and I believe that this is one of them. Amen.